Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome everybody to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Fred Jackson's with us.
Yes, sir.
And we thank you for listening to AFR. We have got Dr. Alex McFarland coming up in 45 minutes, and we got so much to talk about. If you want to follow us on, as Ed says, that their internet, Ed, how can they do that?
Well, they can go to either Facebook
or YouTube. By they, we mean our wonderful listening audience.
Our wonderful listening audience. They can go to either Facebook or YouTube and search for Today's Issues and click through.
You go there and search.
Search mode. Absolutely. Yes. Aren't we
search.
All?
Yes, we were all searching.
You stop searching, you die.
Yeah, that's what that's hockey right there. You start searching. Stop searching for that goal, then you might as well not play the game.
I like it.
Wow. Deep.
Oh, it's deep.
I've been
in a lot of ways.
I've been accused of being deep many times in my life. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Ed.
That was it.
All right. And if you want to send us an email, and you can do that at comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. And Fred, what's leading us off this morning in the news?
Well, it was a somber group of Democrats yesterday.
Mm.
Somber.
Yeah.
Very serious.
Were they all dressed in black? Or?
No. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was in brilliant pink yesterday.
Okay. Celebratory pink?
Celebratory prank. Yep.
And okay. What happened?
And she was so happy. She had some of her people put together some nice pins. Pens. Writing pens.
Yeah.
With her autograph on them. And they had gold tips on them.
Uh-huh.
Somebody said the gold tips looked like bullets.
So the pens for what were they, late Christmas gifts? What were they, Fred?
Well, yesterday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi introduced us to the managers, the people who are going to be there for the House to prosecute in the Senate trial of mm-hmm. President Trump.
Okay.
So in the words of Inspector Clouseau, they were Nancy Pelosi impeachment pens.
They were.
Yes.
And
get your own impeachment pen.
Hold on just a minute. You telling me that Nancy Pelosi and her Democrat colleagues walked over to the Senate to file impeachment proceedings, informed the Senate that the President of the United States hurt their feelings. They're charging him with obstruction of Congress. And what else? What was the other thing? They said no crimes that he's committed. Just, I use the expression, hurt their feelings. But anyway, they say he obstructed Congress, did the President of the United States. So, but you're telling me at this signing ceremony to turn it over to the Senate, mm-hmm. Nancy Somber Pelosi mm-hmm. has commemorative pens to hand out?
Yes.
Right.
Oh,
huh?
Oh, and she was so proud.
With her name on it?
Yeah. Autographed.
The only thing missing were like party favors and party hats.
I did hear, if I'm correct, I was listening to this, faintly in the background you could hear Cool in the Game singing Celebrate Good Time. Did you hear that?
I did not, but
yeah,
it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. The Democrats were celebrating their somber moment. So anyway, make this stuff up with these commemorative pens she was handing
out.
And
that's real. That part's real.
It is.
Cool in the Gang and the party favors, that's not real.
No, the balloons,
the balloons
weren't there.
The Donald Trump pinata that they hit afterwards, that wasn't real. But
the cake that said Happy Impeachment, Mr. President, that wasn't, that was phony.
That's not really happened.
But go ahead, Fred. But so anyway.
Well, let's have a little listen to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday Has she come on, let's get rid of this idea that this is somber in the eyes of the Democrats. They were celebrating yesterday.
Right.
They knew their friends in the mainstream media were going to cover all of this live. And here she is yesterday, some of her words yesterday. Cut number one.
Our founders, when they started, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary, when Abraham Lincoln 47 years ago, Thomas Paine, now are the these are the times that try men's souls, the times have found us. Longfellow, remember, listen, my children, and you will hear the midnight ride of Paul Revere on the 18th of April in 75. Hardly a man is now alive that remembers that famous day and year. It's always about marking history,
yeah,
using time. On December 18th, the House of Representatives impeached the President of the United States, an impeachment that will last forever.
Okay, so folks, children, get your pens and paper out. There's going to be a quiz right here. We're convicting on American literature history, right? That's what Nancy Pelosi was. She was saying that all the Constitution, the Declaration, Longfellow's
Of Paul Revere,
Tom Paine's common sense about all this is
equivalent
to
impeaching Donald Trump.
That's what she was saying?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This is one of the great moments in American history, is what she was saying.
Great moment.
And apparently she should have had some sort of really pithy or deep, saying you can be pithy and deep, but, you know, some kind of saying to commemorate this.
Apparently, she had pens to commemorate it. You need a saying.
The best she could come up with is Donald Trump will be impeached forever. So that, yeah. I guess that's, these are the times to try men's souls. You know, that I guess that's the same.
Was it me or it sounded like her speech was slurred a little bit there?
I watched this and I don't know what's going on with her, but she didn't look like she was speaking normally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe it was just the sheer joy of the moment. I don't know. Okay, it's hard to take this seriously because all this is, your explanation, I know it was kind of tongue-in-cheek, the president was impeached for hurting their feelings, okay? That's pretty close to the motivation, an accurate description of why they're doing this. Mm-hmm. He won in 2016 and disrupted their plans to turn this into a socialist utopia, and they will never forgive Donald Trump for winning, and they will pursue him to the end of time.
That's what she said. The impeachment goes on forever. I'm not kidding.
That's what she
said.
This
impeachment will go on forever, or something to that
effect.
Well,
he'll be impeached forever.
That's what she said. But here's the thing too. Keep in mind this. Whatever you may think of the president's comments to the leader of Ukraine, help us investigate or find out what happened with Hunter Biden and I guess Joe Biden and that whole corruption situation on that 30 seconds on the phone call that you mentioned, Fred. This is the first time that impeachment has been brought against a president, and it's been rare in our history, yes, that a crime hadn't been cited. Okay. Bill Clinton was impeached because he committed perjury.
Lied under oath.
Now you may say, well, the substance of what he lied about was an adulterous affair. So that's understandable. People want to say that.
And that was the Democratic Party's defense of it.
But my point is, he did commit perjury.
Yes.
As the chief law enforcement officer. Lied under oath while he was president.
In fact, was stripped of his, his right to practice as an attorney.
Disbarred,
yes.
So my point is, there's not been a crime. If there were a crime cited that the president committed to impeach him over, then I'm willing to listen to it. I mean, everybody, I think that's you should be. But a crime has not been alleged. It is corruption, very vague, broad terms, corruption. What was it? Corruption of Congress?
Obstruction.
Obstruction of Congress, which I've noted many times I'm in favor of. And I'm in favor of obstruction in Congress. I'm kidding, folks. What's the other thing he was accused of?
Well, basically, he's accused of trying to discredit Joe Biden.
Okay. Yeah. But he's also accused of withholding money from the Ukraine in return for them investigating Joe and Hunter
Biden. That was abuse of power, I think, is the other.
Abuse of power there. The obstruction of justice has to do with they don't like that Donald Trump said, I don't like what you're doing.
Right.
They call that obstruction.
Basically, the linchpin of what they're saying is that the president used his power as his office to try to get a investigation in the Ukraine of Joe Biden and the former vice president and Hunter Biden, his son. And the Democrats would say that's because he is the political opponent of the president, right?
Yeah. He's the
chief political. Despite the fact that Joe Biden had not even announced he was running for president.
At the time, isn't that true?
That is true.
In July of last year.
That's true.
When the phone call was.
Right.
Yeah.
And the evidence that there was corruption is pretty out in the open, right, with Hunter Biden.
Yeah.
And his and Joe Biden, the former vice president, he forced the you talk about a quid pro quo.
Yes.
We know because he's been on film, and this is why the Republicans are threatening to call Joe Biden and or Hunter Biden as witnesses in this situation. We know that Joe Biden, the sitting vice president, bragged about how he got the attorney general of the Ukraine fired because the man was investigating his son's company. And Joe Biden, this is me reading into it. If you reject this, that's fine. But the vice president did not want the attorney general of the Ukraine looking into his son's company, right? So Joe Biden told the Ukrainian president, either you fire, and you can do this in their country, either you fire the attorney general looking into my son and the company that he represents, or you don't get money. That's what he did, right?
And he gave them 24 hours to fire that attorney general.
I don't think he gave them that long. Did he? Well, he said, I'm leaving in 6 hours or something like that. And then Joe Biden bragged that's exactly what happened. So, you know, so my point is that's what the president was talking about when he was talking to the Ukrainian president. Go ahead.
I would say this comes down, and almost all of this comes down to that call and what transpired and why. So to me, there are two ways of looking at it, and that's why I don't think that there's a crime here.
There's the way I just described it.
Well, the Democrats are looking at it and saying the president abused his power. This is the reason why he said this on the phone call. Very small part of the half 30-minute phone call with President Zelensky. The reason, the motivation in President Trump's heart and mind, we're going to tell you what his motivation was to abuse his power in relationship with Ukraine to punish the man that he believes will run against him as president. Or perhaps the president was simply saying, we're not giving money to your country if your country's corrupt. And I've been abused for the last 2.5 years. Every time I sneeze, there's an investigation. I want to know why your country isn't investigating these guys.
Right.
Now, if he's doing that for that reason, I don't think that that's an abuse of power. So who's right? Neither side can prove what the president was thinking.
But the Democrats want to go with their view
and
say he needs to be handcuffed and taken out of the White House.
That's right.
Now, by the way, did you guys see this related to this? Nancy Pelosi was quoting the president's phone call yesterday. This is what I read. And she changed the word. Did you see
this?
Just like Adam Schiff did.
Yeah. So she was purporting to quote the president. And in that phone call, the president says, can you help us out? I think
yes.
Yes.
To that effect.
Yes.
meaning the U.S. government.
Right.
Or my administration. Or the Attorney General, because he kept referring to talk to Bill Barr. Right?
Yes.
So Nancy Pelosi changed the word. She said, President Trump said, can you help me out?
Yes.
Right. Okay, yeah. There's a huge monumental difference.
Right.
Yes.
There. So that's what Adam Schiff did, yes. Right?
Yeah, yes. Adam Schiff did. He
went even further than that.
Went even further than that.
Yes, he made up a scenario.
Yes.
And
made it sound like a mob movie.
And purported it to be fact in his opening statement. Mm-hmm. So when you, and I haven't seen the media really call Nancy Pelosi to account for this. I hadn't searched it a lot. I was just trying to, So that is deceit. That is on its face deceitful.
Yes.
Of course.
Right? By Nancy Pelosi. So I guess I'm saying, yes, impeachment is a serious, somber process. It should be. But this is all theater. You could give numerous reasons why it is by the Democrats. And furthermore, Nancy Pelosi said a few weeks ago, she said she was asked when impeachment of the president started. She said 3 years ago.
Yes.
Yes.
So the resistance to the president was announced early on. They've been trying to impeach him. So it's hard. I guess what I'm saying is when you try to be objective about something like this, it's hard for me to take anything seriously that the Democrats are doing because so much of it has been proven to be phony.
Yeah.
All right. So there may be something. It's kind of like Burr Rabbit. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's not the good fable I want to use, but it's the boy that cried wolf.
Yeah.
Okay, Nancy Pelosi and them have been saying for 3 years, almost every week, the president's doing something wrong or illegal or impeachable. And after a while, you just don't pay any attention to it any longer.
Yeah, so. I would say that if we could all just simply set aside partisan differences and say, let's try to figure out what we want to say. I think you could have Democrats and Republicans. In other words, if we weren't in a partisan mudslinging contest, and say, listen,
an eternal one,
the president should have said that, you know, on the phone call. It looks bad. Okay,
so censure him if
yeah.
you want to.
So you want to censure him, or you want to just advise him, don't do that in the future. But to say that that's a crime, that you know what his motivation was, when there's a perfectly rational alternative explanation, mm-hmm. means what you just said. We all know this is a partisan witch hunt, and we're not taking the Democrats seriously. And so, don't want to take Republicans seriously. Fine, you're destroying the bipartisan nature of our government.
And one more thing before I think of one more thing to say. One more thing is that this has been lost in it too. There was a group of three or four prominent Democrat senators who sent a letter to the Ukraine making demands of them. I think it was the same demands that they fire the Attorney General at the time, who was of the Ukraine, or we will withhold money. The Congress will withhold money from you. Do you guys remember this?
I don't remember who they were, but
yeah, I think it was Dick Durbin and two or three others. Withholding money from countries for Congress does that. Many presidents have done that for various reasons. And President Trump was saying that we got a corruption problem in your country. Can you help us, meaning my administration or the U.S. government, look into it? And the Democrats seized on that and said, he's trying to use his position to get Joe Biden in trouble. And therefore, we're going to use this as the reason to impeach him, although we've been wanting to impeach him for 3 years.
And this is after almost 2 years of waiting for the Mueller report, Russian collusion thing, when all we heard from the Democrats day in and day out was, this is it, this is it, he's done. That is, where's that now? That's gone.
And we have the coup tried to take place.
And now we're supposed to take FBI. This seriously?
Yeah. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Next up, Fred.
I think we need to remind people that one of the reasons the Democrats are getting away with this right now is their friends in the mainstream media. And that friendship, that collegial relationship was on display
yesterday. Well, let's cheer Nancy Pelosi on.
yes. Yesterday, during the somber signing by Nancy Pelosi, the mainstream media, and I'm talking about people like Chris Matthews and Chuck Todd, they referred to what Nancy Pelosi was doing at this little ceremony as having a religious nature, a sacramental moment. Now, I want you to have a listen. This is going to be cut number six.
This is a montage.
This is a montage of the mainstream media kind of agreeing with Nancy Pelosi. What a somber moment this is. Six.
There's a sacramental quality to this. There's a ritual.
I'm so glad Chris used the word ritual. There is something almost religious to it.
I think Pelosi's a real believer in this about ritual.
She said he's been impeached forever. They can never erase that.
And well, there's, we a, know that's there's something... a sacramental statement
yes.
for life. Like a priest for life is a perfect, statement of what she is. I think she's very reverential.
I think the irony once again is unbelievable. I think she bandies about the term prayerful when today the president is actually signing a religious freedom executive order that will protect students in schools to be able to pray. So once again, the president is actually doing things, and the Democrats led by Nancy Pelosi are just saying words that they think sound good and are polled well.
That was Stephanie Grisham, White House spokesman, responding to how the media treated this yesterday.
You know what else is forever? Okay, Nancy Pelosi said, and correctly, she's saying he is, President Trump will forever be an impeached president like Bill Clinton. But you know what else is forever? He's the 45th president.
Yes.
Forever.
And okay? maybe the 46th.
And maybe, you know, that's going to be forever too. And that's what Nancy Pelosi and the other Democrats can never forget.
Yeah.
And if he wins re-election, and who knows what will happen with the House, you know, I mean, it's probably a long shot to flip the House back to GOP control. But if he wins re-election, her forever will be trumped, pardon the pun, by his forever.
Yeah.
He will be the next president
again. To your point, Ed, let me play you a little bit of Lindsey Graham, who was on Fox last night. He's predicting how this is going to end. This is cut number three.
All I can say is that the impeachment articles are a danger to the presidency. Yeah. The way they impeach the president is un-American. This trial will end in a matter of days, not weeks, and he's going to be acquitted. I hope every Republican votes to acquit, and I think some Democrats will too. This is a sham. This is political revenge. This is not constitutional abuse. He will be acquitted. I hope and pray every Republican will reject what Nancy Pelosi did, and we'll pick up a few Democrats.
There you have it. That's Lindsey Graham, his prediction. And he's going to be very much a voice in this trial when it happens.
Besides Manchin from West Virginia, is that his name? Joe Manchin?
Joe Manchin.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there's a chance. Doug Jones maybe from Alabama because he is in a re-election. He was in a special election, but... I mean, those two would be the only two that might join the Republicans.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to take a break right here. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. A lot more to talk about. Dr. Alex McFarland will be with us in just a little while as well. There's a story breaking, too, out of New York City that you're not going to believe. You're probably going to believe it, but I use that to get you to come back and listen to our show. So you're not going to believe this, ladies and gentlemen, but we're going to tell you. It's called the Radio Tease right there. But it has to do with New York City's sanctuary policies regarding illegal immigrants. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay with us.
I think I've got a stumper for you this week.
Trivia Friday. You know you laugh, and you know you always learn something.
What vegetable did an ancient Egyptian place his right hand when taking an oath?
Yeah, it's funny now, but put yourself in my place.
That funny, Jim?
It is.
But listen to the question.
Trivia Friday. You'll want to tune in. 10 a.m. Central on American Family Radio.
The Hand of Providence. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. That's what George Washington, the father of our country, called God's work in our country, the Hand of Providence. It is amazing and astounding, the stories that go on and on and on about how the Lord intervened to create the United States of America as a very special place on the globe. We're going to see all this history, as much as we can at least, in Jamestown, Yorktown, and Williamsburg. That's in Virginia. And then we're also going to Washington, D.C., and George Washington's Mount Vernon Estate. We're going to do this in June and September, and you can join us by finding out all the information at spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. We hope to see you then.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. Just after the Muslim terrorist attacks on September 11th, the good people of Effingham, Illinois, commissioned a mural painted on the entrance to an underpass. A beautiful American flag and a cross bathed in sunlight. The other day, an atheist apparently got triggered while driving through the underpass. The Freedom From Religion Foundation filed a complaint accusing town leaders of violating the law. They say the presence of that cross violates the Constitution. First Liberty Institute, a law firm that specializes in religious liberty cases, tells me the town should consider fighting the out-of-town atheist. Over the years, a number of communities have been attacked for including crosses and other religious icons in their official documents. However, First Liberty says at least two appellate courts have determined a cross is permissible under such circumstances. In other words, Effingham should keep the cross and get rid of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Be sure to get my latest podcast with special guest Mike Huckabee. It's a free download at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Oh, man. Oh, we were just talking about the Nancy Pelosi at yesterday. We were talking about this earlier, the House of Representatives, the Speaker of the House. You know, she went over to the Senate to tell them they need to impeach President Trump, and she sent over the documents. She was there to sign the documents, I guess. Mm-hmm. So when she gets through signing, then she hands out commemorative pins to the other Democrats who were there with her name emblazoned.
Right.
Yep.
On the pins. I mean, who thinks of this? Huh?
Nancy Pelosi thinks of it.
Huh?
You know, there's some people joking around.
Did she tell Carol at the staff meeting a few days earlier before that, the intern? Carol, what's your name? You need to get me some pins made up with my name emblazoned on them so we can hand them out when we go over there and impeach President Trump.
I think there were some Republicans that were making fun of that yesterday, saying that's
like
the
me?
Reason.
Like I what? Like I am?
Saying that that's the reason why Nancy Pelosi held off releasing the articles of impeachment because she had to wait for the pens to come in.
With that?
Yeah.
And can you get us some balloons?
Yeah.
For the after party?
Yes.
Maybe some punch with some, you know,
yeah,
and some little hors d'oeuvres. So hosted at our, anyway. All right, so we will see where this goes. According to Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, Republican, he says it's going to be short. Mm-hmm. And the president will be, his word, acquitted.
Yep.
And I guess we will move on to the primaries and then to the general election in the fall. President obviously will be the Republican nominee. Anybody running against him? I know that Weld from Massachusetts had talked about it. Sanford from South Carolina had talked about it, but I don't think anybody.
They gave up. Huh? They gave up.
Is Bill Weld's not going to run?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. So, Fred, this story out of New York. Tell us what happened.
Well, New York, like I guess Chicago and San Francisco, some time ago declared itself a sanctuary city. And basically what that means is if you came into the country illegally, you're going to be taken care of here. Well, back in November, the federal immigration officials were looking for a guy having committed crimes, and they put out a detention order on this individual. But because he was there in the sanctuary city of New York, New York said, no, we're not going to deliver this order. So now this guy is charged, are you ready for this, with murdering a 92-year-old woman.
After assaulting her.
Sexually
assaulting
right.
her.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yes. So here, once again, and it just points to the danger. I mean, I'm getting to the point where you be afraid to live in New York, because on top of this story this morning, you now have New York that says we're not going to, you know, require bail from individuals. Like somebody was saying this morning,
what?
You know, somebody no bail. And here are the charges that we're talking. Somebody's accused of criminally negligent homicide. They don't have to pay bail. They get out.
Right.
If someone's caught with...
Why would you do something like that?
Well,
because this is the progressive way now.
Yes.
It's all about the people who are in jail mm-hmm. or in prison. It's all about their rights, and it's not about the victims.
Yep.
Well, let me read this first paragraph from the Fox News story on this, which we posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page. It says, New York City's sanctuary city policy is again under fire after an illegal immigrant who was released from the New York Police Department custody in November, despite a plea from federal immigration officials to hold him, is alleged to have gone on to sexually assault and murder a 92-year-old woman. Hmm. So this guy is so bad that ICE wants him. ICE calls the New York City Police Department, says, can you hold him for us since you have him? We want him for other crimes, I would suspect serious crimes. And the New York Police Department says, no, we're going to let him go. We're going to let him off to go on the streets.
Because that's the law the city has passed.
So the NYPD has to comply to that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Mayor Blasio, well, you know, this is what New Yorkers want. All right. So, I mean, I feel terrible for the family of this 92-year-old woman, obviously. It's horrible. She was murdered, again, allegedly. The guy hadn't been tried yet. But, I mean, 92-year-old woman, sexually assaulted, murdered, by a guy that should have been deported and would have been deported had the New York City Police Department turned him over as ICE requested. And this kind of thing goes on all the time. It's not, yes. not doesn't always make the news. Or yes. Not murder like this. Well,
remember the case in San Francisco?
Yeah. Yeah. But I got to tell you, this is what New Yorkers want. So this is self-government in a way. And I disagree with it. I think it's terrible. And I think it defies common sense, and I think it makes your city unsafe. I don't know what a liberal/progressive would say to me to say this is a good thing that this illegal immigrant was let go free by the New York PD, even if he did murder this woman. What would they say to me in defense of the sanctuary city policy that led to, do you think, Ed? I mean,
Yeah, I think the only thing you can say is that you say this, if this actually happened, okay, again, this is alleged, then you say, this is unfortunate. This is not the majority of immigrants that are released and therefore not sent into ICE custody. There are other examples of laws that where someone gets out, is released on bail because that's our system, and they go out and commit another crime. This is unfortunate, but it doesn't represent the vast majority.
But now we're not going to have bail?
Well.
Even?
Yeah. I mean,
so, I mean, I
well, I'm not defending
this
sounds, saying
that. This sounds bad when I say it like this, but New York deserves what it gets here because they're going to have rampant crime's going to be ramped up with no bail.
Elections have consequences, don't they?
Yeah, and they elect Blasio, De Blasio.
Bill De Blasio.
And the city council. So I'm assuming that it's safe to assume that the vast majority of New Yorkers agree with letting illegal immigrants roam the streets, even though ICE says we need them because they're criminals, we want to deport them. And the New York says, no, they're fine here, even if they do commit crimes.
Yeah, I think the only defense that could be mustered is this is actually very rare. But here's the thing, and I think for most New Yorkers, they're going, wow, that's terrible, but the chances of that happening again probably aren't very great.
Unless it's your grandma.
Well, yeah, obviously. So I think it's like we were talking about before the show or earlier this morning. This it takes time for people to feel the weight of their foolish decisions. Consequences do sometimes change your thinking. We were talking about Germany, about the majority of people in Germany now getting tired of the immigration policies because more and more Germans are being affected. Yes. They're suffering the consequences until more and more people in New York City suffer the consequences of this foolhardiness. These laws are going to stay on the books in that city.
Just stop and think about this. What de Blasio and the leaders in that city are saying, if a few innocent people have to die as a result of our policy, well, that's just too bad.
That's not what they're saying, but that's what they mean.
That's what they mean.
That's the practical implications of what they're doing. You know, this says to illegal immigrants who are criminals, hey, go to New York. Mm-hmm. Go to California. Go to these sanctuary cities because... Yeah, you might be run into the law, but you're not gonna have bail.
Yeah,
and you're not gonna have any chance of being deported. I still, for the life of me, don't understand the reasoning. I've heard it before, but I don't understand the reasoning of why a local police department would not want to help a federal agency like ICE. When ICE says, you got a bad dude, we need him, we've been looking for him. And the local police says, we don't care whether you've been looking for him, we're letting him go.
Yeah. But the local...
No.
The local police agree with the feds.
Yeah, I think so.
The local police have their hands tied by the politicians.
Okay, then I framed it wrong. The police is under the authority of the city council and or the mayor.
Right. Yes.
Or both. So the police may agree with ICE, but their hands are tied.
Yes.
Because the mayor and the city council has said, you got to let the criminals go instead of giving them to ICE.
Yeah, because it takes extra police time to contact ICE, fill out the paperwork, turn them over, and apparently they're being told, you will not use your time to do that.
Yep.
Even though it could prevent a lot of murder and mayhem.
They would say, that's racist, Tim. You're saying that because they're immigrants. You hate immigrants.
Immigrants can be of all colors.
Well, I know, but that's what they're going to say. That's what I'm thinking. That's the mentality in New York City, just like these other sanctuary cities. You're saying they're all criminals. They're not. You know, there may be a couple.
You know, what other issues can we have sanctuary for that we don't agree with? In other words, we have immigration laws that are federal that are supposed to be enforced. Are we going to have What if conservatives choose laws that they don't want to obey, and they declare themselves sanctuary from those laws?
Well, this now my understanding is, again, I'm not an attorney. I try to make that clear often enough. But my understanding is these are not laws where the federal government says to the police department. You must turn them over. This is like professional courtesy. We'd like them. If you get them, please contact us. We'll come pick them up.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're not paying their taxes or something.
Right. And I'm sure that the feds don't tell the police departments, everybody that, you know, they don't, every illegal immigrant's not.
Right.
ICE doesn't say hold them for us.
Yes.
But in this case, in New York, ICE, somewhere or another, either they found out that the NYPD had this guy. They said, hold him for us. We need him. He's a bad dude. But the New York City police, as you mentioned, have to comply with the law of the city as it is. And the law of the city says that the New York PD can't cooperate with ICE. So they turn this guy loose on the streets of New York. And allegedly, again, he has raped and murdered a 92-year-old New Yorker woman. And which could have been prevented had the NYPD given this guy over to ICE to be deported. Okay, I say with these policies that quote progressives have enacted, they have to live with the consequences. And in New York and parts of California, they would say to me, as you just said, no, you're a racist.
Yeah,
and we like our sanctuary city laws.
Right.
We don't want our local police cooperating with ICE.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's what they would.
They would say to us, many progressives will say we don't even need border security or immigration enforcement at all.
Right.
Disband ICE.
Right.
Let everybody in who wants to criminal or not.
That's what Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says. And she's elected to Congress. So there's got to be, at least in her borough, people who agree with it.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland joins us now, and he is the co-host of Exploring the Word each afternoon, Monday through Friday, with Bert Harper, as they do a live on the radio Bible study. How you doing, Alex?
Doing great. Enjoying listening to you fellas.
What do you think about what we're talking about right there?
Well, God bless you all and God bless America. You know, I'm thinking about the people that influenced our founding fathers, you know, how our country, you know, the rule of law is not being enforced and the government, you know, is doing a lot of things wrong. And God bless President Trump and his cabinet and his policies. But think about this, folks. The founders read John Locke and Aristotle and Plato and Thomas Hobbes, and Thomas Hobbes wrote a work called Leviathan that was about a society with no government and it was anarchy. And basically, the founding fathers saw the role of government, and that's why America is so unique, folks. I mean, in the span of world history, what we've had for 240 years is so unique. Basically, the role of good, just government is to protect, provide, and invest. This is what the founders understood, and they understood it, yes, from a Christian perspective, but Jefferson and Adams and the founders basically created for us the greatest form of government that world history has ever seen. I mean, second only to Israel under King Solomon. But good civil government should protect, provide, and invest. Protect the citizens from threats, internal and external. Provide services on a limited basis. Now think about this. The government should provide the services of corporate infrastructure, not necessarily personal sustenance. Big difference there.
Mm-hmm.
Not a welfare state. And then invest. Now, they use this word felicity, which is an old Latin word that basically means happiness and well-being. The government is to invest in the general welfare of the country, and that includes a sustainable economy, education, culture, and the things that would contribute to human thriving. And I would submit to you that what the Republicans have stood for, certainly what the president has stood for, is in harmony with the founders' vision to protect, provide, and invest, that for 200 years made us the greatest country in the world. What the Democrats are trying to do and the progressive socialist utopians, they're trying to create a welfare state, and it's in their interest for there to be lawlessness and a citizenry that's easily controlled by big government. So, you know, Vice President Pence had it right in June of last year. He said the next election is not primarily between two candidates, but between two different futures. And
But, hey, Alex, if I could change topics on you in the short time we have left, we have a few minutes left here. We talked yesterday with a gentleman who's a pastor, was a pastor, and is a leader in the United Methodist Church, and he is a Bible-believing Christian, and so he's part of the group that's facilitating the divide, separation, the breakup inside the Methodist Church, so that you know, those who believe in what the Scripture teaches regarding human sexuality and the authority of Scripture are going to divide from the churches that don't believe what the Scripture has to say about human sexuality. Is that
yes?
Okay.
Yeah.
They believe in the more modern view that, you know, anything goes, I guess. So
it's all good.
It's all, yeah, whatever they they have no, anyway. The point is they've come to this separation. I'm wondering what your thoughts are of, could this kind of thing happen in other conservative, what we would call conservative denominations? These kind of issues.
Anyway, yeah, I think it could. And in fact, I think in the Presbyterian Church, it already did. I mean, the hyper liberal PC USA, you know, a couple of conservative Presbyterian denominations like the PCA, the EPC, and the ECO, those are three conservative Bible-believing groups that emerged once it was clear that the PCUSA was, and I don't use this word lightly, not merely liberal, but actually apostate. And so it is sad when Christians divide, but yeah, you know, I think it's necessary. I mean, if there are people that are determined to betray Scripture, betray 6,000 years of human history, the Lord Jesus as the head of the church. Because, I mean, think about it. Ephesians tells us that Christ is head of the church. Matthew 16, 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And clearly, you know, in John 10, 35, Jesus said the Scripture cannot be broken. And so when groups are wanting to be Christian, yet radically deviate from the Word of God, they're not submitting to Christ, the head of the church.
Okay, and what so, what about with respect to the Southern Baptist Convention? Do you see any, what do you see the next 2 to 5 years with that church? That, now, that's not as structurally controlled as the United Methodist Church. With
right,
the,
right. These are all independent churches.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that Baptists, and generally Baptists and Southern Baptists are a congregational form of government, and they assume what we call the autonomy of the local church. And they're not under bishops like the United Methodist Church is. And either one can work and can work well. But I would urge people to pray for the Southern Baptist at their convention coming up in June, because I would say, okay, the current leader of the SBC, J.D. Greer, a few months ago, he said, unless we include social justice, we are not preaching the gospel. So
he said that like that?
Yes.
That's a red flag for me.
Oh, yeah.
When I hear people use the expression social justice, That's the language of the left. I'm sorry.
Exactly. Well, he and several other leaders, and I don't mean to be, I'm not trying to be disparaging or anything, but we have to be forthright with each other. Some of his talking points sound like they come straight off of the desk of the Democrat Party. And I would say this, that, I mean, if we say that we have to include social justice in the gospel, then that means that for the last 1800 years, people were not preaching the gospel. Because, and by the way, I got a call from a very concerned pastor last night who had, he had spent yesterday at an SBC meeting in a certain state, and that some reps from the denomination were saying that churches have to be more socially just. And let me say, folks, these are code speak for progressive ideas. And we've got to remember, as Christians and citizens, Christians, we're to make disciples of all nations, preach the gospel, the death, burial, the resurrection of Jesus for the sins of the world. Christianity, the message of Christianity is not social revisionism and socialism. The message of the gospel is salvation through Jesus alone. And let me say that the churches all across this nation, and I've been in 2,200 of them, churches have soup kitchens and clothes closets, and churches are doing social justice ministry, quote unquote, and we have for 2,000 years. But the job of the government is to protect the coast, deliver the mail, and otherwise stay out of my life. And
yeah, but J.D. Greer, the Southern Baptist president, right? Is that an annual position or every 2 years?
It's every 2 years.
Okay, and so with him, he has a reputation of being a very good Bible teacher.
Yes.
And I've watched some of his sermons, and he is a very good Bible teacher. He's not known as a liberal.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right.
But he seems to be following in this path of Dr. Russell Moore and mm-hmm. others inside the Southern Baptist Convention who are otherwise good Christian men. I'm not yep. saying they're not believers.
Exactly.
But they bought into this social justice worldview that comes from the left. And not everything from the left is worth throwing out. I'm willing to have a hearing on such on their matters sometimes. I know, as strange as that may seem right. for people to hear, on the merits of their ideas. But Fred, what J.D. Greer and others are referring to is something like reparations, for example.
Yes.
Or white privilege. That's yes. what they would talk.
Critical race theory.
Yes. Yes.
And allowing refugees in, unvetted, yeah. allowing illegal immigrants in, all those kind of things.
In the name of Christianity.
Yes.
Yes. And Ed's reference to critical race theory, you will remember the last Southern Baptist Convention last year.
Resolution 9,
which came in as against critical race theory, which has Marxist in its background.
Right.
With J.D. Greer on the stage, and the Resolutions Committee turned all that around and said, we will accept critical race theory, they says, as an analytical tool. But no, they've let that in the door.
Right.
They've let that thinking in the door with the approval of J.D. Greer.
So are these social justice warriors, if you will, and their thought processes and these, what we just described, are they creeping into leadership in the Southern Baptist Convention? Or are they there?
Oh, they're there. They're in leadership.
Really?
And we need to pray. Hey, the surest way to make Christianity irrelevant is to try to make it relevant.
Yes.
And that's what a lot of them are trying to do.
Mm-hmm. I think you just plagiarized from me right there, Alex.
Uh-oh.
I said
well,
that.
I give you credit, brother.
I'm teasing with you, Alex. I'm saying that in this sense, I wish I would have come up with that, because that was an excellent and true statement.
It was brilliant.
What did you say?
The surest way to make Christianity irrelevant is to try to make it relevant.
Wow.
You can't improve on perfection, and the gospel is perfect.
Praise God for
Amen.
That. Thank
Amen.
You, Alex.
Amen.
Hey, Alex, look forward to hearing you this afternoon with Bert. Take
yes.
care and have a great day, man.
God bless you all.
We shall return in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.